Lord, we thank you for this Advent season. We pray, Lord, that our hearts would be ready to receive you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That was kind of like a mini flash mob, perhaps. We didn't practice it, but... Yes, I did. I'm green here, I'm red here, and I think it's... Oh, wait. I don't know what's happening. Oh, yeah, it's red, and it's... Okay, counting down. Okay, good. Well, as Sister Dorsey said, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming out tonight, and it's wonderful to be with all of you. And I just have some questions to ask you before I get rolling into the scriptures. First of all, there wasn't anyone who was at St. Mary's in Pinckney just last 2 weeks ago, was there? Perfect. Okay. Only because I gave this talk there, but I wanted to do a longer version of it, which is tonight. So I think we have about an hour and a half tonight. Okay. All right. Okay, so Advent is a time of watching and waiting and preparing for the Lord to come. And St. Anselm says this, "Teach me to seek you, and when I seek you, show yourself to me. Teach me to seek you, and when I seek you, show yourself to me." So I know that this is a busy season. You know, Advent, I wish we could trim some weeks off of Lent and add them to Advent. If I could be in charge of Advent, that's one of the things that I would do. But if I ask you, what is it that you are seeking? What is it that you are waiting or watching for or preparing for? What is it? I know some of you are we have one right there, a mom with a very young one. You know, you might say, do you know I live in my van? I'm driving my kids here and there, and you know, I'm always running from one thing to the next. Or if I say, is God speaking to you? And you might say, are you kidding? Do you know how busy I am? I don't have time to listen. What are some of your responses? Some might say, yes, he's speaking to me. Some might say, he's very quiet. And my question for you is, when God is quiet, what do you do? Do you seek him? What do you do when God is quiet? I want to use a little analogy here. How many of you here have kids who are, say, 4 years of age and under, or even 5 and under? Okay, raise your hands. Okay. All right. And there are a lot of you who have had kids those ages. So what happens when you're in the kitchen and the kids are playing in the living room and you can hear them laughing and, you know, give me that toy, that's mine, give it back, no, it's mine, no, mom, right? You hear all this noise, right? Going back and forth, then all of a sudden it gets quiet. Now moms are really good at this. They notice that quiet right away, right? Rachel's going like this, uh-huh. Rachel, so what do you do in that moment when everything's just quiet? I'm going to guess you drop everything and you want to go see what the little rascals are up to, right? There was a friend of mine who said that it all of a sudden got quiet. Well, what happened was one of her other little ones found some markers and just started drawing all over the nice white furniture and then all over the walls and all that kind of stuff. Well, there was a time in my life, and I don't remember this because I was the recipient of it, of that quiet time. I won't take time to pass this around, but this was a quiet time. This is me, you see? And my sisters got a hold of my aunt's makeup, and I'm sure we were laughing and having all kinds of fun. We'll put this by the cookies later. You want to pass it around? Okay, we'll pass it around. Notice the beautiful haircut. I did not do that to myself, even though it looks like I did. You'll also see my sister Liz here, who's laughing hysterically. Okay, this was one of those quiet moments, okay? And you can tell how just absolutely serious I am right here, because my sister said to me after, and I don't remember this at all, she said, "You're so beautiful." And I think I believed it. So here, okay, we'll pass that around. That's just one of those quiet moments. So when God is quiet, do you seek him? Do you go looking more for him? What do you do? I know, it's so crazy, that picture. So those that are listening online, sorry about that. We're not going to post that online. Oh, dear. Okay. Okay, so this is what I'd like to do. This is what I want to crack open tonight. I want to just look at, briefly, I want to look at four different people in the scriptures. And if you have something to write down, I'd just like to encourage you to write down the references so that you can go back to it. The first one is Luke chapter 18, verses 18 to 23. That's the passage of the rich young man. So that's Luke 18, chapter 18 to 23, the rich young man. So as I'm going through different ones of these people in the scriptures, what I want you to do is I want you to think, who do I most relate to? Okay, so the rich young man, I won't read the whole passage, but I'll just summarize it quickly. You know, this rich young man goes up to Jesus and asks Jesus a question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And we know the story that Jesus says, follow the commandments. And he says, I've done that since my youth. And then what he says to him is, go and sell all and follow me. And the rich young man goes away sad because he can't let go of his possessions. So John Paul II says he goes away with two things, his sadness and his possessions. So he walks away, he goes away sad. The second one is Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, you can find it in Mark chapter 10. Mark 10, 46 to 52. It's also in Luke chapter 18, 35 to 43. Luke 18, 35 to 43. I'm going to walk you through this one a little bit in more detail, Bartimaeus. So, as they came to Jericho, and as Jesus, was leaving Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, is basically sitting by the side of the road in the dirt. And Bartimaeus could feel the rumble of the feet of the people going by. Jesus is with a multitude. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. But Bartimaeus doesn't know who he is. But he knows there's this crowd going by. Okay? This crowd is going by. And so Bartimaeus yells out. Well, he asks, first of all, what, you know, in so many words, what's going on? Well, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So what does he do? He yells out. I'm not going to yell, but he yells out, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. Now, we know that those who were with Jesus were saying to him, shh, just be quiet. We got places to go. We're on our way to Jerusalem. So just don't bother him. But Bartimaeus all the more cries out, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. I love this passage. Jesus turns and he says, call him. And so they're probably stunned. Oh, okay. So they go up to him and they say, rise, take heart. He's calling you. So they take him to Jesus, and this is the question that just throws me. It's obvious to Jesus and to everyone there that Bartimaeus is blind. And now Jesus asks him the question, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Isn't it obvious? But he wants to hear from Bartimaeus, and he says, Lord, I want to see. I want to see. Jesus, I want to see, comma, Jesus. That's important. Then we have Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, same area, okay, Jericho. As Jesus entered Jericho, and again, Jesus of Nazareth is passing through. Don't let him pass through. Don't let him pass by. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Now, I can relate to Zacchaeus because he was a little guy, okay? Short in stature. This part I can't relate to. He was a chief thief, okay? He was a chief thief. He was a chief tax collector. He ripped people off. And he wanted to see Jesus, not I want to see, comma, Jesus. I just want to see Jesus. I'm just curious about this guy. So he's not ashamed to climb up into this tree. And I love this because he's just checking Jesus out of curiosity. And you can imagine him up in the top of this tree and sort of looking, you know, he sees this crowd coming down and he sees Jesus is in the front of him and he's like, I'm finally going to get a glimpse at this guy. And he's kind of looking. So Zacchaeus is peeking through the leaves, looking down. Jesus stops at the base of the tree and he doesn't say, what in the world and who are you and what are you doing up there in that tree? What's going on up there? He says, Zacchaeus. He calls him by name. I just wish I could see what did that look like when Zacchaeus is like, oh my gosh, I'm just curious. I just wanted to get a glimpse of you. You just called me by name. Zacchaeus comes down because Jesus says, come on down. I'm going to stay at your house today. And before he even hits the ground, he's kind of like, oh my gosh, okay, I've ripped so many people off. I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. And those people that I've ripped off, I'm going to repay them fourfold. Oh my gosh. What was Zacchaeus looking for? Just a glimpse? He just wanted a glimpse of Jesus. And he has this encounter with Christ that changes his whole life. Amazing. You know, what was Bartimaeus looking for? Bartimaeus was looking for physical healing, but he also gets more. His eyes are open, and he follows Jesus on the way. Okay? And then, again, Zacchaeus, just this curiosity. Well, I was running through these passages with my students this one day, and I said, who do you think I most relate to? And they go, well, not the rich young man, because you're not rich. And I said, right, okay. And I said, so who else? Who do you think I most relate to? And most of them got it right. You know who I most relate to? And I'm not proud of it. I most relate to Zacchaeus because he was just curious. I really don't, you know, I don't want to bug him. I don't want to bug Jesus. Just a glimpse. That's all I want. And I'm not proud because Bartimaeus, I wish I related more to Bartimaeus because Bartimaeus humbled himself big time. I mean, to sit in the dirt while people are going by and to not let Jesus of Nazareth pass by until you got what you were asking for, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy on me. So I'm really trying to be more like Bartimaeus, you know. Because, you know, the fact of the matter is, Jesus can take care of all of us, you know, all of our needs. He can heal the blind. He can take care of whatever needs and or struggles or whatever that we're dealing with, give you grace to embrace the trials that you're walking through. He's there. It's not like, okay, I'm sorry, I'm sort of out of grace, but check in first thing in the morning, okay? You can be first in line. So who do you most relate to? I won't go into it right now, but the woman at the well is another good one. What was she looking for? Was she looking for Jesus? No. No, she was just doing her chores, right? I mean, just like every, you know, a woman's work is never done, right? She's just going to the well to get the water. And what does she end up with? The living water. And her life is completely turned upside down, completely changed. And so is, you know, all the people in her village. If you want to look at, that's John 4, 7 to 42, the woman at the well. And I'm sorry, I don't think I gave you the reference for Zacchaeus, which is Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Luke 19, chapter 1 to 10. So think about, who is it that you most relate to? Okay, let me just go through this. So the rich young man, he's looking like, I have to do something. What must I do? Are you a doer? Are you thinking, I have to do something in order to receive eternal life? If you're a doer, I would say, take that to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, teach me. What do you want to teach me in this passage? I'm going to guess He's going to say, you don't need to do anything. I've taken care of that. But I want you to come. This is what He was saying to the rich young man. I want you to come and be in a deep, intimate relationship with me. And if you think about it, He was asking the rich young man to imitate Himself in this sense. Jesus, though He was rich, He became poor for us, right? And He's saying to the rich young man, you're rich, become poor. And in fact, you're going to be richer than you ever have been before. So Jesus was looking for this deep personal relationship, but unfortunately, he walked away, okay? Bartimaeus, seeking his sight, he's seeking physical healing. I want to see Jesus. And again, we see that he gets his sight and much more, a deep relationship with the Lord. What was Zacchaeus seeking? I just want to see Jesus. I'm just a little curious. Just want to check him out. And again, this encounter with Christ that turns him absolutely into someone probably people didn't recognize. Okay. I want to just go back to Bartimaeus just a little bit because I want to say some things that I'm hoping that will hit you right in your hearts. Not too long ago, I was really thinking about this passage and meditating on this passage, Mark's gospel on Bartimaeus. So Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And that question, what do you want me to do for you? And when I listened to that, you know, question from the Lord, and guess what I immediately started doing? I started saying this. First I said, Lord, please help my family. My brother, my sisters, would you do this? And then, you know, there was someone else that was really on my heart that I was praying for. And I just kept thinking of all these things, Lord, this and this and this. And it was as if the Lord took my face in his hands and he said, what do you want me to do for you? For you. See, I think as women, what we tend to do is we immediately start thinking, could you take care of that kid? You know, I'm worried about this one. I'm worried about my husband. I'm worried, you know, right? But it's, what do you want me to do for you? And this just started kind of pouring out. So I'm just going to share it with you. I said, Lord, I want to see. I want to see from the perspective of your heart. That's what I want to see. Lord, I want to be like you in all things. I want to meet personal rejection from your perspective. I want to meet personal rejection from your perspective and not criticize and not retaliate. Lord, I want to see you more clearly in others. Lord, I want to see you in me. I want deeper union with you. I want to be more keenly aware of your presence. I want to rely on you more. I want to love you more. I want to be more responsive to you when you call to me. I want to respond immediately and without hesitation. Lord, I want you to be seen and known through this earthen vessel. Lord, I want to see. I'd just like to ask you to take these passages. This is the power of God's word. And again, you know, maybe something else will jump out at you that you didn't even think about. And this is why, you know, I love to do this kind of thing with my students, because they'll come up with things that, like, oh, I didn't even notice that word was there. So what would you take away from this tonight? What are you seeking? Don't stop seeking. Will you be like Bartimaeus? Are you willing to humble yourself? And if you're like Zacchaeus and you're saying, well, I'm just kind of curious. Well, that's good. That's a good place to start. But put yourself in a place where you can have that encounter with Christ and allow Him to encounter you. One of the things that I'm challenging my students, this is a little bit different, but I'm challenging them to start looking more outward. I'm challenging them to get out of their comfort zones and really start to reach out more to people. Of course, you know, in prudent ways, of course. But I just want to tell you this one story that really, it touched me deeply. And I'm telling you this story because I see Christ in this student of mine who did this. I'm challenging my students to be salt and light, to go and be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And what I plan on doing is I'll collect my students' stories and then I put them on the radio. I have a little radio program. It's music and talk. And so this has become a tradition where I do a salt and light show and talk about my students going out and actually serving people. And I make it clear to them, you know, we're not doing this so that we can get a pat on the back. Aren't we wonderful? That's not what it's about. We're just obeying what Jesus has said. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Go and be that. Okay, so here's the story. Think of a 17-year-old girl doing something like this. This takes a lot of courage. She said she was out to dinner with her father, and she noticed this woman came in to where they were at some burger joint, and this woman walked in all alone, looking around, smiling, you know, but she was all alone, and she said she also noticed her regularly at this grocery store where she worked, and she was always alone, but always just sort of looking around and smiling. Anyway, so this woman put her order in and then went over and sat down, and she said, I just had this feeling. And I said, what was that feeling? And she said, well, I felt like I was supposed to, I don't know, say something. And this is what she did. When the woman's order came up, she jumped up and took her food over to the lady, and then she said this, and this takes a lot of courage for a young girl. She said, would you like to join my father and me for dinner? And she said, sure. So they sat there eating, talking for about almost for 2 hours, and the lady's story was this, and this touched me so much. She said, the lady told her, you see, my husband died about 2 years ago, and you know, I like to just get out into the community and just watch people. And she said, thank you so much for inviting me. Isn't that sweet? But, you know, I was just so proud of her for reaching out and for doing something like that. And, you know, she was seeing, I'm hoping that that woman saw Jesus in her, and I think she saw Jesus in this woman. So anyway, that's what I just want to share with you tonight, and I just hope that you'll take these scriptures, God's word, which is living and active and can change our hearts, and just let it take root in your hearts.